Now it's time to hear from the Green Party's Ricardo Menendez March.
On Monday, the government announced that they'd be introducing a rates rises cap, which is expected to be legislated by the end of 2026. The cap would be a minimum of 2% and a maximum of 4% nationwide. When talking about the reasoning for the introduction of a rates cap, Prime Minister Christopher Luxon said that ratepayers in New Zealand were, quote, fed up. Along with this, the Labour Party announced that if they were to be elected in next year's election, they would offer doctors and nurse practitioners low-interest loans to set up new practices or buy into existing ones. In their policy, Chris Hipkins stated that they would hand out up to 50 loans per year, which would be up to 90% of the cost of buying into a practice, capped at 500,000 New Zealand dollars. They also specified they'd be prioritising areas that had no general practitioners or practices with closed or partially closed books. And last week, the government announced a proposed major shake-up of local council, where mayors of cities and district councils would take over the duties of regional councils. For our weekly catch-up with the Green Party, I spoke to MP Ricardo Menendez March about the government's regional council's announcement last week and Labour's low-interest loans for family GP practices. But first, we discuss the National Party's rates rises cap. To start off, the Green Party has labelled this as a distraction tactic. Can you explain that?
Well, the reality is that, as explained by many mayors across the country, including our mayor, this is a blunt tool that does not address the fact that many councils are facing chronic underinvestment in infrastructure. And putting a rates cap only pushes the problem down the road, because at the end of the day, if we want to have adequate stormwater infrastructure, good enough public transport, and the things that make our city livable, we have to have a central government that, instead of imposing these rate caps that pushes the problem down the road, comes to the table and works with local government to invest and fund infrastructure that our communities need.
Why does the Green Party feel that this cap will only lead to communities being worse off?
Because at the end of the day, what councils are now facing is the inability to continue funding key infrastructure that helps make our cities and towns livable. And that includes amenities like libraries, recreation spaces, pools, public transport infrastructure, stormwater infrastructure, the things that help our people be able to find themselves and live in a city. And the reality is, again, is that many cities who have chosen to delay rate increases are now facing the reality of either hiking rates or facing crumbling infrastructure that they cannot fund to adequately accommodate growing population needs.
Minister Simon Watts argued that families have to live within their means and that councils should too. Do you have a response to that statement?
Conflating a council budget or a central government budget with a family budget is fiscally illiterate. And the reality is that central government has many tools to support local government and our local communities to have the infrastructure that we need to have modern towns and cities. That is where the central government needs to put their energy into supporting councils to build adequate amenities and infrastructure, as opposed to imposing rate caps, which only pushes down the problem of old and aging infrastructure and a lack of amenities in many suburbs and parts of our country down the road.
National's rates cap is valid across all councils. Is that fair, and should individual councils and growth areas be treated differently?
The government talks a lot about localism, but imposes a blanket rate cap across the country, which ignores the fact that many councils are having to grapple with the reality of aging critical infrastructure that they need to adequately fund, and therefore have to face the reality that the only way to do it at the moment is by increasing rates or by central government coming to the table and helping fund the amenities and infrastructure that our cities and towns deserve. And we're not talking just about the nice-to-haves, which people also deserve. We're talking about literally stormwater infrastructure, public transport, and the things that make a city modern and livable.
What would the Green Party change to this type of legislation?
Well, we wouldn't impose it in the first place, and we would leave it up to councils to decide the level of rates that they need and, you know, make decisions in relationship to the infrastructure. We also would explore ensuring that central government can better share resources with local governments, so that local governments who are facing critical underfunding for their infrastructure can actually improve some water infrastructure, that they can improve public transport, that they can ensure that we have libraries and parks and communities that are growing so that people can have the livable cities that we often talk about.
All right, moving on to the next topic. Labor has announced that if they were to be elected next year, they would offer doctors and nurse practitioners low-interest loans to set up new practices or buy into existing ones. Labor leader Chris Hipkins said Labor would provide up to 50 loans each year, prioritising areas that had no general practitioners or practices with closed or partially closed books. My next question is, what's the Green Party's response to this announcement by the Labor Party?
Long before the Labor Party announced this, we've long called for solutions to address the fact that many of our general practices are being bought by big corporates. And so therefore, we're losing the ability to have clinician-led GP practices. And instead, now we're seeing corporate-run GP practices. And those don't necessarily have the interests of our communities at heart. The difference we have with Labor, though, is that we do not think that we should continue having GPs being a privately owned part of the healthcare system. And this is why in our green budget, we've put out a comprehensive, fully costed plan to bring GP services and dental into the public healthcare system to also boost the workforce and to make it free. And this is where we have a differentiating view when it comes to Labor's proposal, because we think we actually should be ambitious and stop treating GPs and dental services as just a private business, and we should bring it into the public healthcare system.
Would you be willing to compromise with Labor's proposal?
We have our own solutions, and it's up to voters to choose the kind of healthcare policy they want heading into the election. What we're very clear is that if voters want GP services to be free, to have a plan to boost the workforce, to ensure that we have enough GPs and nurses and allied healthcare workers on the ground to support people, and to stop treating GPs and dental as a basically business and instead treating it as part of the public healthcare system, they can party vote green.
Prime Minister Christopher Luxon says the policy is confused because the problem is not the number of clinics, but the number of doctors instead. What do you make of that?
The problem is both. The problem is that we need to adequately boost the workforce on the ground when it comes to nurses and doctors who work in primary care, as well as allied healthcare workers. And we also need to address the fact that right now corporates are buying clinician-owned private clinics. And that is a problem because effectively we're handing out one of our key parts of our healthcare system to big corporations. And this is why we should not just tinker around the edges and go out with a bold, ambitious plan to bring GP services and dental care into the public healthcare system so that not only can we make it free, but we can adequately plan to increase the workforce to meet the needs of our population so people don't have to wait weeks in order to get an appointment with a GP.
You've already touched on it a little bit, but what are some of the main things that the Greens are looking to do to fix the GP crisis?
Well, for example, I've already talked about bringing it into the public healthcare system, and that looks like effectively setting up publicly owned clinics in areas of highest needs. So what we've proposed is that this is basically a phased-in plan where we would be delivering those publicly owned services starting in the areas with the highest need, but also we would lift the number of doctors that are being trained, and we would also ensure that we have better pathways so that Māori and Pacifica doctors and nurses can actually train and go out into the communities to serve them as part of a plan to, again, bring GP services into the public healthcare system so that it's not treated as a privately owned entity that is there sometimes to make a profit, as it is the case with the ones that are corporate-led.
All right, moving on to the last topic. Last week, the government announced a proposal that would be a major shakeup of local government. In the proposal, mayors of city and district councils would take over the duties of regional councils. The mayor would form 11 combined territories boards, which would meet regularly and, on top of handling with businesses of regional councils, would be tasked with coming up with a regional reorganisation plan for reorganising how their councils are structured in the long term. The CTBs would also have responsibility under the government's Resource Management Act reforms for developing the region-wide spatial plan chapter and a national environment plan chapter to be included in combined regional plans. My next question is, what are the Green Party's core concerns with abolishing regional councils?
Yeah, I mean, so for the layperson, what I want them to know is that Regional councils play a huge role in protecting our environment and also supporting the delivery of things like public transport services. A really good example of regional councils doing the mahi to ensure that people can have quality, safe water was that we had the Otago Regional Council, who was basically approved and created a plan to address contamination in a water system. And then central government came in and gutted the ability for the regional council to deliver that. And it's really telling that the government, at every opportunity they can when it comes to changes in local or central government, they often tend to come for environmental protection first and foremost. And this is why regional councils are important. They help they help protect our natural environment and the quality of our water by having specialized team and people who are dedicated to that and that alone. And in rural communities, that is critical because rural communities are facing growing problems when it comes to drinking water and the quality of our rivers. And those are problems that if we don't address right now, they're going to become increasingly expensive and potentially even harder to fix down the line.
What do you think about how these changes limit Māori influence in important decisions?
Well, the government has continued to attack Māori representation at local government, and there is no guarantee that we'll have iwi, hapu and whānau voices represented in the new bodies that the government is creating, and that is problematic because we should be working together to ensure that we can have clean waterways and that we take a caretaking role of the natural environment. Māori have kaitiaki rights over water, and the partnership that existed within regional councils is one of the few ways in which we could be honouring that, or moving towards honouring that at least. And so it once again is an attack on the ability to work in partnership with Māori when it comes to looking after the environment for generations to come.
Do regional councils need adjustment, or would the Green Party look to revert things back to how they are currently?
We would support having regional councils put in place. And once again, the challenges that exist within local government often have to do with the way that they are resourced and the inability for local councils to be supported to adequately have things like a decent housing stock, to ensure that they play a bigger role in the delivery of public housing, to ensure that actually they have the resources to be able to deliver fast, frequent, and free public transport. That's where we want to put our energy into actually resourcing local councils so that they can deliver the infrastructure and services that people need, as opposed to gutting the ability for local communities to be represented in bodies that help protect our natural environment and that often can give effect to partnership agreements with Māori in order to look after the taiao for generations to come.
And that was the Green Party's Ricardo Menendez March on the National Party's Rates Rises Cap, the Labour Party's Low Interest Loans for Family GP Practices, and last week's announcement of a major shake-up in local government by the Coalition.
That was the Green Party's Ricardo Menendez March.